Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Those words are recorded for us in Matthew 17. It's when Jesus took Peter, James and John up into a high mountain apart and was transfigured before them. And the bit I want to concentrate on for the next 20 minutes is, hear ye him. I want to talk about ears and listening and so forth, and paying attention to what we hear. And that will cover the next 20 minutes. I might do theatrical tricks like banging on the desk to see if you've gone to Land of Nod or not. Or maybe I won't. But then maybe I will. A few years ago, I suffered a disease in my right ear, and I'm, if you like, newly fairly deaf. And it was a painful infection. 12 weeks of antibiotics did nothing of use for me, and I ended up basically deaf one side. A consultant even operated on it and had a look inside and did all sorts of horrible things that you don't want to know about. But basically, there's three little bones in the middle ear, and they all bang into each other in ways that I don't understand, but obviously our Creator knows and understands. And apparently two of the three are missing, so tended to be why my hearing doesn't work now. But this was weird and new to me. And apparently it was caused by diseased flesh eating through the bone. And apparently left alone, he had to operate to cut this diseased flesh out, he couldn't fix the hearing. Left alone, it'd go through the skull into the brain and kill, so that's not the best idea as far as I understood, so he operated. But I'm still trying to adjust this lack of hearing 4 years later. And the constant white noise I get from this side as well is quite annoying, to say the least, at times. But why have I told you this? Well, if afterward you come up to me and you're standing on my right side and I don't pay any attention, guess what? I can't hear you. No, that isn't the reason. But it's a funny thing, isn't it, hearing? It's a sort of hidden disability. People don't realise just how others can be deaf. So I want to tell you about things I've learned from this in the last few years. The first thing I learned was how amazingly reliant I was on my hearing. And it's quite simple. We need to listen to this word just as much, because if we don't listen to the word of God, we know which path we end up on then, don't we? The second thing I learned was that this disease couldn't be left unchecked, because it would have killed eventually. And similarly, we need to listen to the word of life, don't we? And listening to it or choosing not to listen to it is a life and death decision. Now, turning a deaf ear to the truth is absolutely life-threatening, and definitely eternal life-threatening, isn't it? The third thing I discovered was it affected your balance a little, but not in my case. But a lot of people tell me that things that go wrong with their ears, especially the inner ear, causes balance issues. And I guess spiritually we have to think about our balance, don't we? The balance between knowledge and works, between faith and works. We all know that faith without works is dead, but equally, then we can show our faith by our works, can't we? The fourth thing I found was just how much I missed being able to hear properly. The feeling of isolation in a busy meeting room, because in some meeting rooms when there's a lot of talking going on, I end up stood on the edge away from it all because I can't separate the sound out of one person because I haven't got that stereo effect to concentrate on the person in front of you. So you tend to stand to the edge, and if someone talks to you then you can sort of ignore the rest of the noise, especially if you turn a deaf ear to most of it. But yes, you can feel isolated in the midst of all your brothers and sisters, and I'm sure others feel like that at times, because maybe we think others don't understand the problems we have or the challenges we have in our own lives. But if we don't talk about these problems, then others won't know to help us, will they? So we all need fellowship, and isolation is not a good thing, is it, unless it's really unavoidable. Fifth thing was I came across was all the adjustments that I'm caused to make with things. I sort of tilt my ear a bit upwards maybe, or I incline it a bit more and I turn round a bit more so I can hear better. sort of angle or incline my ear. And I think we have to do something similar in our spiritual lives, don't we? That we have to make sure that we make changes in our lives so that we listen to the word and act on it. The sixth thing I learned was, as I said, my hearing loss was sudden, very sudden, over a number of weeks. Whereas normally I'm told that with age it creeps up on you. And I'm also told, and I've seen it in my family, that there's a phase with denial that we're going deaf initially. And maybe in our spiritual life we have the same thing, that we start to miss an odd meeting or make excuses to ourselves and maybe miss an odd evening lecture or the odd memorial service or the odd Bible class or the odd fraternal because we've got something better we want to do. And maybe that's how it creeps up with self-denial, if our attendance, doesn't it? And the other thing that I've noticed is this interference, this white noise that I get that just won't shut up. It interferes with what I'm trying to hear, what I'm trying to concentrate to listen to with the left side. And at times it's quite hard work to filter out the noise and actually listen to what people are saying. And it takes a lot of effort and quite some concentration. And in the same way, we've got to make an effort, haven't we, to spend time and to discern the word of truth. So that's the quick summary of what I've learnt so far. But we all know about Paul's words, don't we? So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's in Romans 10 and verse 14. The ability to hear God's voice starts with being a student of the Bible, doesn't it? And being a student of the Bible gives you ears to hear the voice of God. And when the words come from God, there's every reason for us to place them above everything else in our lives, isn't there? In the Bible we find God speaking to us, and it's not vaguely, it's not generally, it's not impersonal, but it's directly to us, isn't it? With a deliberate intent of getting through to our hearts. It really is a word in your ear, and it's designed for your heart, isn't it? Now, if we choose not to listen, then we're going to do this at our own peril, aren't we? After all, God invites us, God pleads, God calls us, God reasons with us, God makes promises to us. But every one of us has to respond, don't we? Proverbs 20, verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. And that is those words, incline thine ear. It's don't turn your head away. It's bring the good side round so you can hear better, isn't it? If that's what you've got a problem of. Now, make sure you can listen. Don't turn your head away and listen to the beguiling words of the world that can't save themselves or even offer us a shred of hope in these last days, can they? Instead, we've got to tune into the message of the gospel. We really have to incline our ears. And there's many ways to do it, including the daily readings we've just read. But I hope you'll remember that to incline your ears more than just listen. And I looked in the dictionary for the word incline, and it says, to deviate from the horizontal or vertical, to slant, to be disposed to a certain preference, opinion or course of action, which I thought was interesting, or to lower or bend the head or body, as in a nod or bow. What I'm saying is we need to make an effort to listen, don't we? We need to ensure our ear is in position to hear clearly, and with me it's turning it sideways. And at work meetings, if this is the table and we're all sat around, I always sit here to keep everybody else to that side so I can hear them better. I have to make adjustments so I can hear. In a noisy meeting, I've already told you, I find it very hard to listen to someone. So if I'm talking to David now and he's talking back to me, I find that I twist a bit so I hear him better. And then I find he'll move, and then I'll move, and then he'll move, and I'll move. And I can do what I now call Chris's like little dance or spin, that during the conversation we can move so much, but I just keep doing this to try and hear, and it's quite intriguing that everyone always likes to be stood in front of you, but it happens. But I'm still making an effort to hear what the person's saying. And maybe we can say putting on our ties and our Sunday clothes and travelling here is the same thing. It's the act of inclining your ear to get your ear into this room to hear what's being said about in an exhortation, to hear the readings, to remember our Lord and Master. I would say that's us inclining our ear today, travelling here. And we need to be in this meeting room, don't we, in order to hear. Matthew 13, words of Jesus, says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And equally warned us in verse 13, therefore I speak Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. We don't want that said of us, do we? And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understanding, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. And why? Because that people's heart was waxed gross, and their ears were dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, or hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now it's a stark warning, isn't it? And we can sit there and listen to that terrible indictment to the people of the time, and how they were dull of hearing and hopeless and ignoring the true message, but we're not like that, are we? Or are we as dull of hearing? Have we heard it too many times and we're not now listening, and we are off to the land of Nod that we were talking about earlier? Or do we hear and just fail to understand? Are we just here to get a tick in a register that I assume you'll have somewhere hidden away that can't see? Are we actually thinking about whether we've timed the oven right for the meal when we get home? Or whether we actually locked the car or the house or the dog or the cat up or fed it or whatever? Are we dreaming about the next holiday we're due to go on? Or soon are we worrying about the fact that what Christmas presents we're going to buy people, and which Christmas present can we take back to the shops afterwards that we don't want anyway? But I trust not. But keeping control of our thoughts can be difficult at times, can't it? So once we're in this room and we've inclined our ear to be here, we now need to do the next step, which is to actively listen, isn't it? We need to listen with understanding. We need to pay attention to Scripture, to think about it, and then to let it affect our thoughts and actions in our daily lives. Proverbs 2 and verse 2, incline thine ear unto wisdom, because that's what it is, isn't it? It's wisdom. Applying thine heart to understanding. Well, Matthew 13 tells me, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's what we want to be like, isn't it? Luke 9, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, and they wondered everyone at all the things that Jesus did. And he said unto his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. We all know that example, don't we? And we all know why we're here, to remember the Lord now. Normally we'd discuss the fact that the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, and the very event we were just about to remember. But why didn't they understand? Well, maybe those sayings didn't quite sink down into their ears, into their hearts, as they were listening to them. Yes, later they remembered them and then the understanding came, but at the time maybe their hearts weren't quite as open, or their minds quite as open as they needed to be. But we don't know, and I'm sure we wouldn't have been any different, would we? But that's the challenge, isn't it? To concentrate on the content of our meetings. To ensure we're not just attending and going through the motions, but rather to let Scripture sink down into our ears. That's what we need to do, isn't it? And it does matter. Proverbs 15, verse 31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. And we need to abide with the wise in the word, don't we? We don't need to listen to those foolish words of the world. We need to stay with our brothers and sisters and listen to the wise of Scripture. John 10 and verse 27, we've got more words of Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And that's where we can be. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And we need to listen to our shepherd that we're here to remember, don't we? We need to hear God's word. And if we do, then Isaiah 26 gives us hope that it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. And the more we read, the easier it is to bring back Bible verses to our minds, isn't it, when we need them most. When we're feeling stressed, when we're feeling sad, when we're feeling angry. The more we've read, the more chance we have of remembering the verses apt for the time. And we can bring it to our minds and encourage ourselves and strengthen ourselves or others. But only if we have spent enough time listening, enough time inclining our ears, and enough time understanding what we've heard. So, I've talked about listening with understanding. And it's so important, isn't it? Because there's so many things that demand the attention of our ears in the world, and most of them are just not helpful to us, are they? Or constructive. And even here in the meeting, you've been warned in the second reading today that how that we need to listen carefully, how we need to discern what is right and true. Every one of our speakers is human. And like us, they all have the fact that Jesus said that out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Just because a speaker said it doesn't make it true, does it? It's something we have to check. Anything that's said by a speaker, we need to discern what they're saying, check it against the Bible, and ensure that it's true, don't we? And it's a constant fight for us all. Now, we all make mistakes even, and if the speaker makes a mistake, then I trust that others will help them see the error in a constructive way. But it's a much more bigger problem than just human error, isn't there? Matthew 24, Jesus warns us. In verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. That's no simple mistake, that's someone trying to deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And skipping on to verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. So they're going to try and deceive, they're actually going to achieve it according to this. In verse 11. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. And we can look at Mark and Luke for similar words. So it's clear we have to listen, but we need to check the words that people are speaking to us, and ensure they are consistent with the message of the gospel. It's the only way we can discern, isn't it? It's up to us to heed the warning, 2 Timothy verse in chapter 3, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We need to go to God in prayer, don't we, as Solomon did in 1 Kings, and ask for wisdom so he could discern good from evil. We need to trust in the words of Jesus from John 10, because that there we're told, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, because they know not the voice of the strangers. So that's it, isn't it? Once we've worked out that we should be hearing and listening, we've got to make sure we're listening to the right message. We've got to listen to the still small voice and ignore the waves and noise of the world. And the more we listen, the better we'll be able to discern the correct message and not get so easily distracted. But the world is getting more distracting, isn't it? And we need to remain in our guard. But I think we can take comfort from Zechariah 13. And I will bring a third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and this is the key bit, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. That's Zechariah 13. Let me just repeat part of this. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. And we can move on and look at the time that it says that the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And men shall dwell in the land, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Now we all know that the Lord will return suddenly, in a way, in the same way as my hearing fails suddenly. I was going to come back to this and say that, you know, normal hearing is gradual hearing loss, isn't it? It comes with age. And the sufferer maybe doesn't even notice it for a long time and goes through that denial phase. And some of you may smile and remember it in your own family, but I know, and I've said this with my dad in the room, because he went through denial for about 4 years before suddenly he went from no hearing aids to two. because he finally accepted the fact that he was struggling with hearing. But things can sneak up on us like that. The occasional absences, the point of going to see a football match of some child or grandchild rather than supporting the lecturer, or maybe we convince ourselves it's the only time we regularly miss lectures is because there's one school party that we need to take our children to or our grandchildren to or whatever. But it can sneak up on us and we need to be on our guard, don't we? And if we're absent from here, we can't hear, can we? Because we can't have fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And equally, we can't help them if they're struggling, if we're not here. Now, I've already mentioned Christmas to frighten you, so we're rapidly approaching the start of another year, aren't we? And it's a time when the world comes up with New Year's resolutions. But we should have the same resolution, shouldn't we, day in, day out, which is to hold fast to the faith that we have. Brother David Rowbotham from Halifax once suggested that, you know, when we're talking about holding on to faith, imagine a children's roundabout at the park. And I remember running round madly to see how fast you could make it go and then leaping on and holding on. Or getting someone else to make it go faster and faster and faster. And basically saying that, you know, as time passes now, we need to hold fast to our faith. And it's like that roundabout that goes faster and faster. We have to hold tighter and tighter and tighter to cling on to our faith in the time that remains. So we must resolve to cling on tighter, but we need to do it in a group together, don't we? We need to cling on to others of the like precious faith as we remember our Lord and Master. And we can all pray that, and it's quite common, even Christopher says, that next year will be the return of the Lord. Well, maybe we should think closer to than that. That this week, today, this hour, this minute will be the return of the Lord. That's what we should be looking for, isn't it? Because Matthew 24 verse 44 says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And we need to be ready right now, don't we? Because it could be now, today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, next century. We don't know, do we? But even in the news today, you know, there was the G20 meeting and Mr. Putin left early because I think he probably got fed up with people telling him off for being a naughty boy in Ukraine, as they might have put it. Now, the world changes so often, doesn't it? And I'm surprised this week, I haven't actually noticed Israel in the news for once, but they usually are, aren't they? Things happen and change so quick. But we have to be comforted in the words of Jesus in Luke 12. "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So I'm hoping that I've reminded you of the importance of the ear, the need for balance, the need to incline our ears, to make an effort to listen to God, if you will. That we need to allow those words to sink down from our ears, into our brains, into our hearts, into our minds. And we need to use those brains that we have to discern the truth and ensure we're listening to the Master's voice. And then those words that have sunk into our hearts, into our memories, so that we keep them with us for when we need them, when life is difficult. And also we need them so they affect our words and deeds in our daily lives, so that those round about us might see the hope that we have, the hope for the establishment of the kingdom. I think Paul sums up much of what I wanted to say in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, where in verse 12 he tells us, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, and truly furnished unto all good works." Some final words of Jesus, Revelation 2 and verse 7. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And to end as we started, Matthew 17 and verse 5. "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him."